It's the California Wine Country Podcast with Steve Jackson and Dan Berger. We taste, we laugh, we learn.
Time for California Wine Country, brought to you by Bottle Barn. Tom Simoneau is in this week. He does it once a month, and we always appreciate it and love it. I'm going to let Tom introduce our guest today. I have not. I believe tasted Allen wines, except for what I just smelled and taste. And
quite good.
This is amazing.
So we have the owners of Allen Wines, which is Ron and Laura Allen. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
And the winemaker, Chris Today.
Hey, everybody.
Chris Today.
And Barry is sitting right here to my right, and we finally get you back.
Yes. Barry Herbst, the wine buyer from Bottle Barn, who's been MIA for about 6 months, it seems like. I don't
know. Lost in cyberspace.
But you're back.
Yes.
And
I'm
it's
free
good to see you.
Yes.
Or is this just one of those, what do you call it, Mike?
Drive-by?
Those...
Holograms.
Yeah, it could be
a hologram.
Yeah, I don't know. All right, Ron and Laura Allen, owners of Allen Wines. And as I always want to do at the top of this segment is get the history of both of you and the winery itself. So somebody start.
Well, I'll tell you from my standpoint, you know, it's something in Sonoma County that eventually permeates you. You know, our kids went to school with, you know, phenomenal winemakers, Michael Brown and
Costa Brown.
Costa Brown. And, of course, Bob Cabral and just, you know, some of the ultimates. And we really, you know, looked up to these guys, but we started thinking about it and talking to Chris. He was making some wine at the time. You know, we looked at it and said, you know, man, we could really do this. We could really create a phenomenal high-end wine that's a great scoring wine for, you know, not a lot of money.
So. But you started, didn't you start making wine at home?
Yes, we started at home, 400 cases a year in 2005.
No, don't say so that on the air, because you made like 200
true.
Gallons a year.
200 gallons.
That's legal.
Exactly.
Wow.
To be ATF listening?
That's not, well, who knows? Yeah. This is Sonoma County.
They Watch probably out. Are, but who cares? We got juice. We have power.
You got juice, Jackson? Yeah. Okay. Jackson says.
What year?
So that was in 2005.
Okay.
It was in 2000, I thought.
Nope, 2005.
We started? Okay.
So
You're not going to get into an argument.
I promise we won't.
The War of the Roses.
I would love that, actually. It'd be good for ratings.
It was a great story about that. Ron and I have been friends for quite a while, and he's telling me he wants to start making wine, and we're talking about it and trying to find vineyards. This is back in 2005. And I show up at Ron's house one day, and all the cars are out of the garage. And there's no place to park in his driveway. And I go up to the ring the doorbell. He opens the garage, and he's got glycol stainless steel tanks sitting in his garage. I'm like, Ron, you're killing me. This is unbelievable.
It's a little more than a that home was,
that's quite a home winemaking facility.
That was the start of the Ron Allen winemaking, I think.
Well, so what were you folks doing before? I mean, what's the history of
well,
the two of you?
How you got married
and all that?
Yeah, we've been married 22 years.
Wow.
I'm straight out of .com, which is San Jose. And, so in that we met, and it was just kind of like commuting, and I didn't want to drive all that way, and 2 hours is a long way.
I started collecting Bordeaux when I was young.
Really?
At 21 years old, started, and I was broke, terribly broke, you know, for many years, but I still always bought one good bottle every single month, one world-class, sometimes first-growth bottles. From there, it just kind of, you know, my love for it just grew. The collection grew. I never drank them. I always just took them and tucked them away. I still have them to this day, all those bottles I bought.
Are you
I'm coming over.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm coming over.
He does.
I do.
Part of your aunt's house.
Wow.
So, and no matter how little I made, I always made sure I invested a little bit in the wine. And, of course, I would always enjoy chasing down phenomenal wines, some Napa, Sonoma, some out of the country, you know, some Chilean wines, you know. And just always just had a major love for it. So, and, you know, Bordeaux, something is kind of a little different. That's sort of what we were looking to do with this. It's single vineyard, single varietal what we're doing, but we wanted something that was more Bordeaux-esque.
Wow.
And that's where Chris comes in.
That's right.
Chris
so
today.
Chris is the man.
And his brother Chris tomorrow, actually.
So original.
You've never heard that before, I'm sure. Yeah.
Good thing we're drinking.
And, Chris, your history as a winemaker, and how did you get into it all?
I fell in love with wine in college. The story's sort of long and sordid all.
Well, we got nothing but time and sordidness on this show. So.
Well, the long and short of it is I fell in love with wine in college when I was working in restaurants. ended up starting my own company, did well enough that I could buy nice wines. Had
what was the company?
It was. I was in college. It was just a small company where I bought and sold motorcycles and mopeds and cars.
Cool. All right.
But it worked out very well for me at that time. And I was out one night, and I had a bottle of wine that took me off my feet. And usually that, you know, I had a lot of champagne, love sparkling. And that night I remember thinking, wow, that's what wine is? And this was back in the 80s. And at that point I realized I was hooked. It wasn't just champagne that got me going. I mean, it was food and pairing. And right. Where I went to school was all Bordeaux wines and right. French wines. Anyway, flash forward, I happened to meet a girl from Sonoma County in Southern California. I was actually transitioning to state of Washington, where I started my first tech company.
Really?
And I met her, and she said she was from up here. And I said, you know what? When we get married, I'm going to be a winemaker. And she thought I was completely out of my mind. But I married her. I'm a winemaker. And here we are sitting together, both for love of Bordeaux and good California wines.
Did you study UC Davis, Fresno?
No, I didn't. I have my background's in political science, then economics. But I've read quite a few chemistry books from Davis. And I have a background in science. So it's not...
Sure.
It's not an unusual thing, I think, for a lot of guys to transition into it. The key thing that I've seen with a lot of winemakers is palate. If you have a good palate and then you have an understanding of the science behind it, you can make some pretty nice stuff.
Yeah, right.
And as we see, these are some pretty good wines.
Well, let's talk about this Chard.
Chardonnay is the...
I am Steve Chardonnay Jackson.
I know, and
that's
and
right.
Laura is Laura Chardonnay Gal.
Yes,
tell
I
us
am.
A little about Provocateur.
Well, I have to tell you how it started.
Okay.
When Ron was making his in the garage, I was in there looking in our wine cellar, and noticing that we had no Chardonnay.
Laura, get closer to your mic.
I asked if I could possibly. I asked Ron if I can just make a little bit for me.
Voice.
I'm a super taster, so I really wanted something that I could enjoy myself and share with my friends. And so, basically, what happened is, after a lot of begging and a lot of favors, I came out with the, or he came out.
Let's
with
talk about those favors.
That's a provocateur moment.
If the children are listening, please leave the room. Make them. I'm sorry.
I get it. So anyway, when we came up with the wine and talking with Chris, our winemaker, and telling him the style that I wanted was unfiltered and clean. I wanted a clean wine because I'm actually I get sick on some of the wines that we drink here in the States or in the Sonoma County, Napa County. I get sick sometimes, and I'm not sure why. It might be the chemicals that they put in there. And so for me, it's like
are you talking rates. About whites only or all? Reds, whites?
It's mainly white because that's mostly what I drink. Is the white. So for some reason, so when we talked about that, Chris thought it might be something that we can do is make it clean and not have any of the chemicals that they put in there. And so that when we did that, it worked
What do you do? Do you low sulfur, no ML? What?
No, it's very low sulfur. It's a great question. So clean can be confused for a lot of things. In winemaking, you have fermentations that can cause histamines. You have secondary fermentations that can cause kind of the same sort of thing, amines. But at the end of the day, all those there are a number of factors that occur during the process of making wine that can make a byproduct that will make you stuffy or get a headache. Everybody ultimately assumes it's sulfur, but it isn't always sulfur. It could be, but it isn't always. But our objective is always to make very low sulfur wines. We don't fine. We don't filter. So they're just super clean. We go anywhere from 18 to 36 months in barrel, constantly racking off and just producing wines that are really, quite frankly, well made.
So, Laura, you immediately didn't get sick when your wines came out.
And also, you know, talking with Bob Cabral and asking him, you know, why is it that I don't get sick when I drink some of the wines that he produces? And he explains that very well thing. And so I talked with Chris and said, Chris, can you please make sure that we don't have as much chemicals in there? And it really does make a huge difference.
Does that translate into the farming, too? This is pretty low.
It does. We manage those vineyards so meticulously. And, you know, it's very difficult to – you guys are on the wine – over here on the wine business. It's really difficult when you have rain and you have fog and you have – right. Wet environment, heat, all these things to produce fruit that doesn't have issues, right? Bugs. So a lot of times, you know, you're out spraying, you're doing these things. But the trick is, how do you mitigate the amount of it, timing? It's all, you know, it's critical, in my opinion, to making good wine.
Is this just one vineyard or multiple?
That's a single vineyard.
Oh, okay.
100% Wenny clone. Single vineyard, Russian River Valley.
And actually everything we have here is a single vineyard, single varietal. So that's one of the beauties of this is the way that, you know, we farm it and the meticulous nature of what Chris does allows us to produce phenomenal wines without having to use any blending, you know. So there's nothing wrong with blending. A lot of people like to blend. I love Bordeaux's and blending is great. But I sort of liken it to sort of makeup for wine. You know, you're blending a little blemish here. You want a little fruit pop there, you know, whatever. With us, the way that we make it and the flavors that we put in there doesn't start at the point that we harvest. It starts a year prior, long before harvest. And the way that's handled is, you know, it creates what we have here.
So you not put a single vineyard on the label, so you have the option later if you want to put other?
Correct. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We're not saying that we will never blend, and we will have some blends in the future. But as of this point, we tried to pick something really, really hard to do, pick the best vineyards that we can, and have good, you know, good partnerships. We have a solid partnership with the people that we work with. So, and Chris is phenomenal.
You know, the nice thing about this wine is it's very well balanced. It's got
it's lovely.
It's got some nice oak. A little bit of lemon, a little bit of cream.
So I love to do blind tastings. I don't know if you like doing it. I love doing it. I love to see people's faces when they're tasting the wine. And they don't know what they're getting. What I loved and what I do observe when people are tasting is their expressions. Because I'm all about the taste and how it feels around in the mouth and watching people respond, people watcher. But I like the fact that this particular wine is 50% steel, 50% old style, which is in oak, new aged oak. And for me, that gave it enough old style into the new style. And the old style meaning that it's not that buttery, old, viscous, heavy, you know, a meal in your mouth, and it's just too much. And a hot day, you're like, no. So it has that great balance of the minerals and the fresh fruit and the old style of the oak. You got that, right?
Yeah.
That's a beautiful. And I want Tom and then Barry to talk about, why do I like this?
Yeah, well, it's the balance of it. It's it's just the right amount of oak. It's got good acid. It's got lemon, but it's got butter. So it's got the acidity and
lemon
the cream.
And butter, boy, I'm getting
it's
that
right
big
there without
time.
It's
partial ml, but not full ml.
Yeah, so what is it, 30% or something?
Around there.
Right in there. So so it's creamy without being, as you're saying,
viscous.
Over the top.
Heavy, syrupy, yucky.
You stir the lees on the barrels?
Every week.
Every week, that's what the creaminess.
Good job.
Yeah.
No, this is great. This would be good to put in a wine tasting with white Burgundies because it has a lot in common with old world wines like that.
Yeah. Really?
It doesn't.
That nice mineral
it's
quality.
I think the type of oak you're using, the way you're using it, and the acidity, it would be hard to pick out as a California wine in a blind tasting, I think.
Yeah. Well, part of it is, you know, good barrels, right, when you do use a barrel.
That makes a difference.
It's a great we don't skimp there. But, yeah, thank you.
That's never.
What's the bottle price?
Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
The bottle price on this?
We're at $46 on this, so we try to keep everything very approachable.
Yep.
That's our goal.
Hell, I'd pay $56 for
deal.
This.
Deal.
Yeah. That's sold.
Mike, write him a check. What's that? Oh, that's the – okay, we'll talk about that in a minute, the barrel sample. Have you been, Chris, with the Allens from the beginning?
I've known Ron for, I think, since 2000.
Yep,
2000. Well, your wife, Dana, and I did Junior League of Napa Sonoma together, and that's how we met.
What is this? Is this chicken soup? Oh, no. She's bringing me coffee.
So when I originally made this for Laura, it was the type of thing where when we took it into the club and the sommelier there tasted it.
Jeff McCarthy,
yeah. He tasted it and said, you can't keep this for yourself. Of course, it was originally made for Laura. And he said, we could sell this. And, of course, my eyes lit up. I said, we could sell it.
Really?
As long as I keep a little bit for Laura and keep her happy, then we can sell it. So Laura took to creating the label, the Provocateur label, which is kind of a beautiful, simplistic sort of label. She's proud of the fact our kids helped create the label.
Cool.
Oh, yeah.
So she has her own brand. That's why we're married 22 years. She has her brand of white. I don't give her any input. I let her do what she wants when it comes to that. I'm about the red. So.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. That's a great marriage.
And I get bossed around by both of them.
It's allenwines.com. Ron and Laura Allen are here along with Chris today, the winemaker. Where's Bradford?
Bradford is the PR sales guy who we were hoping to get in here, and he's at a tasting in Napa this afternoon.
Yeah. Oh, okay. But he sent us some points for the radio show. Yes, well... That's a guy doing his job.
That's the hologram that's sitting right there.
Yeah, exactly. And, of course, Barry Herbst, the wine buyer from Bottle Barn, is back with us. What's new? What's going on? You haven't been with us for a while.
Yes.
You guys got that thing going?
Yeah, the site was launched on Sunday.
Beautiful.
So it's kind of like a restaurant soft opening. It's not, we have about 30 items online.
But explain to everyone what it is.
So it's a carved out part of our store, basically, where you can buy individual wines or sets, sampler sets. And then on top of that, we'll be doing flash sales, which are similar to like our insider offers we've done. Stuff that's about half what the winery sells the wine for, particularly good bargains usually. And so people will be able to go through there, get free shipping on 6 bottles anywhere in the country. And, it'll grow over time, but it's starting now with about 30 items plus all the probably every week we'll have a flash sale going. So
it's fascinating to
it
me.
It should be nice dimension to the website where people don't have to actually come in the store and get the bottles shipped for free to their house. So.
Bottlebarn.com.
Oh, and champagne tasting November 7th. There's 11 seats left last time I looked.
Really?
At the Hyatt again?
Yep. Yeah.
Vineyard cool. Creek. So. That one will be a good one.
All right. We good, Mike? Oh, he gave me the break sign. He gave me the good sign, then he gave me the break sign. All right. We will take our break, and we'll be back on California Wine Country. Dan Berger's off this week, and the great Tom Simoneau, the guy in 1991, I said is the wine guy of Sonoma County, and...
You named me Jackson, and here
I did,
these years later.
And we had a show on KSRO in 1991 called The Entertainment Zone, and that's how we met.
That's right.
And you were in there, and that's how we got the thing with the wine stains.
Yeah. 3 hours on a Sunday night, 6 to 9.
Yeah.
Unbelievably perfect time frame, right? No one's listening.
We had a guy listening.
We did.
We did. That's right. He told me. I ran into him not too long ago. Hey, what happened to the Entertainment Zone? Well, you stopped listening.
Yeah. Well, Jackson used to say, geez, Tom, how are you going to rate this wine? And we'd been tasting wine for about an hour, and there's wine stains all over the notes
the counter,
and everything.
Yeah.
So I'm counting them. This is a 5 stainer here because our notes had stains all over.
And we've been doing this.
We've been doing that ever since.
Since 91. Yeah, how many stains do you give to this one?
5 wine stains.
Yeah, or 3 or 4.
There's no stains on the Lazy Susan.
Well, we have the Lazy Susan. No, there won't be any wine stains there. California Wine Country brought to you by Bottle Barn, and it's great to see Barry Herbst, the wine buyer from Bottle Barn, back with us after,
thank you.
16 years?
Somewhere around
there. Yeah, it's been a long time anyway. It is brought to you by Bottle Barn and Della Tofola.
Tofola,
exactly, like Coppola. For more than 60 years, Della Tofola has been making equipment for the wine, beer, and beverage industries. They're based in Santa Rosa, but they work all over the world, everything from crushers to conveyors and pumps and presses. Filters to fillers. They even
handle packaging solutions. And since we know that so many wine, beer, and beverage people listen to this show, many of them, know about Della Tofila's award-winning technologies. They make it easy for folks to get their grapes in the bottle and to the market. And again, as I said, they're based in Santa Rosa with high-quality equipment and experienced technicians. It's DellaTofila.us. And Chris, today the winemaker at Allen Wines is here, and you know all about these folks. And
I do. They're awesome folks. And the technicians part is probably the key for guys like us, because if you're making and producing wine and something happens during crush, you want somebody there to get on it and be Johnny on the spot and make the changes and fixes that need to happen. And those guys are really good about that.
So they'll show up.
They're fantastic.
And fix any problems that you may have during the crush and such.
Yeah, amazing crew down there.
Very cool.
You don't get much better than that for a first commercial.
How about that? No kidding. Huh?
You know, testimonial
right here.
Della Tofila dot U.S. And we love them. And they're going to be in, next week or later?
Winemakers like them, too.
I know winemakers like them. You are the winemaker. You should do, we should record you doing a whole spot for Della Tofila. He is Chris today, winemaker at Allen Wines. Ron and Laura Allen are the owners, and they're here. And Tom Simino with Barry Herbst. Tom, I'll turn it over to you.
All right, we've got a barrel sample to talk about.
And I'll let you know if the Red Sox.
What's the score of the game up there?
0-0.
Okay.
Yeah.
My Red Sox.
Bottom of the second. Yeah.
What are we, up 1-0?
Yes.
8-4. Hello.
Hey,
anyway,
I'm rooting for the Red Sox.
I love you, Jackson.
Yes, I know you.
So we're going back to the barrel sample. I'm leaving my Red Sox for a moment. So the first wine, Provocateur, was Russian River, and this one is Sonoma.
Petaluma Gap.
Petaluma Gap.
Petaluma Gap. The interesting component to this is they're both 100% Winnie clone.
Different appellation?
Two different appellations, two AVAs.
Yep. Two different flavors, too. The flavor profile is completely different.
Yeah. And we still do make wine from the one that Provocateur is from. So, but we like to test out some new vineyards, try to find some new partners.
I forgot to ask, how many cases of the Provocateur do you make?
Well, we have now, ballpark, we're probably about 400.
400 cases.
Yep. So total overall, we try to keep our total production below 2,000 cases. And we do that purposefully because we really want to, you know, be able to, you know, stir the lees and be able to, you know, always, you know, be able to rack and not filter and just do those things that just take that extra little bit of attention and time. So we don't want it too large of an operation.
Small.
We're artisan, we're boutique, and we're meant to be that way for a reason.
Got it. Well, this is killer again.
It's really good.
And it's in its own way, but it's distinct. It's different. But it's clean, crisp.
It
doesn't make you 17. Sick, right?
No, it does not make you sick.
17.
It's great. Very bright compared to the Russian River wine.
Yeah.
Much more high-toned.
A little leaner.
Yeah.
Yep.
It'd be great in probably a year or two.
A little more steel
together.
On that one.
Yeah.
I have nothing to say about this one because I'm drinking coffee and Kathy dumped some of her wine in my coffee cup and I didn't realize it. So.
Well, you got to have a little something in your cup.
Well, it works. I don't care.
Is his name Miles?
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to move on to some red wines. And tell us a little about this Ron, would you, on this the Sonoma County we're going to taste, the 15?
So this is the 2015. So we call this one Block 17. Sorry, need to get a little closer here. So the name of it is Audacieux. So Audacieux means audacious in French. So and it kind of describes the way in which we make this. It's very bold, single vineyard, single varietal. It has some nice balanced tannins on it. And it has a very bold gold-foiled and embossed lion on it. And this lion actually is on everything. Here, I'll pass it around. This is on everything that between our house and clothing that we wear and everything, we have this lion displayed all over. So it's bold. It's pure testosterone. So it's It's a reason I grabbed you one.
What was the genesis of that?
So it was the very first label that we had in 2005. We had this designer create something, and we described we wanted something that was bold yet still elegant. And he came up with two lions facing each other. I look back at it now, and it's it looks a little not something I would take serious as a wine, but we were a home winemaker at the time. So we took it and just developed it from there. And,
very cool.
We have this today.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
And I'll actually let Chris speak a little bit about the vineyard. So he's intimately familiar with this vineyard.
Chris?
Well, we get to get in there and work all these vineyards, and I take great pride in making sure that what we pull out of there is worthy of putting in a bottle to start with, because if you don't have that to start with, you can't make something like this, right? But I would say most of the vineyards that we're working with are in between 1 and 3 acres. We're probably pulling between 2 to 2.5 tons of fruit per acre, something like that. So we farm them very meticulously. And, I mean, your viewers can't see, but, I mean, if you look at the color.
I mean, the color is unbelievable.
It is.
I mean, this is like bright purple like you read about. It's almost, it's almost like there's a black light below it. You know, shining on it. It's just, it's gorgeous. So, and it screams Cabernet young in the glass.
Yeah, tell me why I like this, and then Barry.
Well, the nice thing is it's Cabernet. It's the oak is not, it's fruit forward. I'm a grower. I want to smell fruit in my Cabernet. And you're talking about farming it from the beginning with your farmer, your grape grower. And that's what you've got in the glass are grapes.
Good
you know, it's really wonderful as it has that lift and clean again. You are one clean winemaker, man. Yeah. And the oak
powerful.
is in the background. It's framed in oak, especially in the nose.
This is a young wine, by the way.
It's a 15. Yeah. You're right. You get some time on it.
To put it in perspective, a lot of these wines go 3, sometimes a little over 3 years in oak. And I'm talking.
It's amazing.
Yeah, the tannins are really under control.
These red ones are 100% new French oak. Yeah. So
Barry,
I mean, a lot of folks don't probably know the whole background behind barrels, but you can get barrels that are aged for a year or 2 years or three years or four years and 5 years. These are 4 and 5 year aged wood barrels.
So they're just adding oxygen to the wine, basically, not flavoring it that much at that point. You're saying 4 or 5 year old barrels?
No, he's talking about brand new dried oak.
This is all new French oak.
Is dried for 5 years.
Francois Frere, 4 years.
Yeah, a lot of people pay.
I don't even want to know what you pay for those barrels, man.
And you have to pay up front to make sure they really age it to 5 years, right?
In a couple of years, quite honestly, the change occurs, and the thing just softens and becomes so elegant and so amazingly beautiful. The framing that you're talking about is what will send this wine over the top from a taste profile.
The right barrels create good subtlety. I mean, you have a lot of those barrels that really, you know, hit you right in between the eyes where, you know, when you taste it, you get that right up front. Same thing on the Chardonnay. We've been very careful to make sure it's not too overpowering of a component because we want everything, nothing taking necessarily center stage. We want everything to be in balance and have those layers, just like a fine Bordeaux.
Yeah, the finish has that lead pencil thing going on like it was from Bordeaux.
Okay, gig alert.
Well,
lead pencil.
Yes,
thing.
I need a
number 2 pencil because I have to vote.
Well, take a sip.
No, I did.
And then the finish. Feel that finish. Think about a lead
did
pencil.
Did you ever eat pencil shavings when you were a kid? Or
no.
You never chewed on a pencil?
You know,
a lot of Elmer's glue. I used to snort Elmer's glue.
That could be part of it.
Tom Simoneaux, the biggest Red Sox fan I know, it's now Dodgers 10.
No. Get
Boston
out of
nothing. No.
Jesus.
I just wanted to see if he'd have a heart attack in the studio.
I just broke my neck looking at the TV.
It's 1-0 Boston.
All right.
It's now in the right direction.
You know, okay. I thought I liked this wine before, but I really like it now.
Well, you mentioned something kind of interesting, the whole pencil lead sort of thing. To me, like some of the greatest Bordeaux's I've ever had capture that.
Yeah.
I can see that in the finish. Mm-hmm. I can taste that in the finish, but I wouldn't describe it as lead pencil.
What would you describe it as? Toasty oak? I mean, you could do that.
I'd rather go graphite with that. I mean, people listening are going, I don't want to have lead pencil in my...
It's just the complexity.
I know.
And you know what? People have been listening to our show for how long?
10 years.
Okay, 10 years on this, but going back to the entertainment zone, like 27 years or something crazy like that. So they can handle lead pencils.
But I had no palate or no experience with wine 27 years ago.
Tell me about it. Tell me about it.
Yeah, I know. That's where I was going. Look, wine stains. But yeah. No, I get it.
It's a beautiful. What's the list price on this guy?
So this one here is a whopping $56.
Only $56. What? Unbelievable.
It's the beauty of Sonoma.
That is really something. Yeah.
That was one of our goals, was to take, you know, these wines that are normally incredibly expensive and really, you know, be able to make it and make something phenomenal, give attention to detail, and release it for the price that it costs to make it. Not, you know, have these wines. We could charge easier, you know, $90, $100, yeah. $120 for that.
Yeah.
We choose not to. We choose not to for a reason. We want to take, this not just have it just available to the elite, but have it something where, you know, being an artisan winemaker, we can deliver something to, you know, the average person who just...
And you want a special bottle of wine, but you don't want to break the bank.
That's right.
This is a special bottle of wine at half what it would cost if it was, out there... with somebody looking to make a killing.
It's allenwines.com. You got to check it out. And Barry, as far as Bottle Barn goes?
This is my first experience with these wines. These guys are boutique-y, so we're going to have to talk in the hallway, as I do on these.
As you always do,
If I may throw something out there about Sonoma County, there are vineyards here that rival the best in Napa, but you have to know where they are. You have to understand where you're going to be planting fruit, why you're planting it there, how you're going to manage it. And some of those, there's a handful of these vineyards that I've been working on, and there are others, but there are a handful of vineyards that I've been working with for a decade now. And I'm telling you, we can make some crazy good stuff out of those vineyards.
Right on. Very cool. Okay, so you guys need to get your wines into Bottle Barn.
Absolutely.
And Barry will be... doing his thing in the hallway after the show.
Oh, for sure.
And you guys will work it all out. Tom?
This is the 14. And again, pronounce this for me.
Audacieux.
Audacious in French.
Mm-hmm. So if it's bold. Too confusing, some people have trouble, you know, pronouncing it. So if you go into a restaurant and just order the Audacious, they know exactly what you're talking
there
about.
There you go. And it's the 14 vintage. And this one's Napa.
So this is Napa. Yes, this one actually is right next door to Harlan Estate Wines.
Ah, so, Oakville.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Not a bad neighborhood.
So you didn't put Oakville on the label, did you?
Oakville is on the label.
Ah, okay, there we go, because that'll put another $50 to the bottle.
Where's my raise?
I think after this, Chris is going to renegotiate his contract. Yeah. I see his head growing.
We're going to get you guys in Bottle Barn, and this Chris is going to make more money. So there we go. Thanks for being on the show. Tom?
Now, again, okay, now this one hasn't got quite as much oak, or is it because of the 1 year, another year older? It's the vintage.
3 years in barrel.
3 years still in barrel. Same regime? Barrel regime?
Very similar.
So it's a 14. Now, this one is Oakville, okay, and it's 100% cab, all single vineyard.
Single vineyard.
Wow. This one, I'm into this one. Now, was this the double gold medal winner from
this? This was the double gold, yes, for the Chronicle.
So at the Chronicle, I'm judging the Chronicle, right, and I run into to Bradford like 2 or 3 weeks before, and we're talking about doing this show back in January. And so he tells me about Allen Wines and Audacious or whatever. What is it again?
Audacieux. I'm sorry. I was sitting here sipping wine.
Audacieux.
Audacieux.
Audacieux. All right. So I get home, and I finally get the list of the wines that we judged, right? Well, I was on the high-end panel of Cabernet, and I see Audacieux is all three of the judges picked it as gold. So it won a double gold.
Wow.
But what was amazing about this double gold is no conversation. Every one of the judges, myself, Charles Mara, and Tim McNally from New Orleans, we all gave it gold without any discussion. That almost never happens.
It's always a good sign.
Yeah, it's a real good sign.
That makes us proud.
This is a killer bottle.
That's delicious.
Chris.
Congratulations.
Well, one thing I want to add is all of these vineyards are hillside vineyards. So for those people out there.
So, what does that mean exactly?
Hillsides generate, in my opinion, some of the greatest fruit on planet Earth. Now, with that, there are caveats, right? It's stuff that struggles harder, doesn't have the same kind of water flow. But the beautiful thing about it is you're up out of the heat, you're up out of the fog, you're up out of the cold, but you have to deal with tannins. So the one thing I hope you guys are kind of noticing as you're drinking through all these wines is there's sort of a thread, like soft tannin management.
It's really noticeable.
Yeah.
For sure.
And these are wines that should, frankly, in a lot of hands, wouldn't even be approachable. But you'll pop that wine 20 years from now. It tastes great now. 20 years from now, it's going to have all the fruit and be even softer and smoother and louder.
Yeah, Dan Berger is off today, but I always call him Dan Lay It Down Berger.
Yeah, you could lay this beauty lays, down.
Yeah,
but you probably, don't have to.
But I'm taking that one home with me tonight.
Yeah, fine. That's
a good one. Well, a lot of people add tannins from the oak that the wine doesn't need. You know, I think the fact that you're using better barrels is a lot of why you're not getting them.
There's a lot of it. Because, you know, yeah. You guys know where I work, and there's a lot of very talented people. But I'll tell you, you have to be willing to sort of do things that are a little on edge. And we're pressing off very sweet, finishing primary fermentation in barrel,
right.
Getting it off the seeds, which have the more astringent tannins, so,
right.
Which are alcohol soluble. So they extract out if you let it go to then a fermentation. There are some things we do that a lot of people aren't comfortable with. Frankly, you know, Ron cuts me loose, and I get to do what I want, and that's a good thing. And, you know, the byproduct is...
Requires a lot of vigilance.
That is one delicious bottle. Now, what's the price on that one?
That's $125.
Yeah, there we go. That's
every bit. I can understand that.
For now, yeah, wine, I can too, man.
And you know what? I'm telling you, that you are you paying $7,000 a ton for this stuff? I mean, what...
So if it was only that cheap.
Yeah. Okay, so if you multiply it out...
That would be nice,
this should be
boy.
Like $300 a bottle. I'm serious. I'm not being funny.
Really?
Because that's what... I was just talking to some growers from Napa yesterday, talking about the ridiculous price of grapes over there. And with the hillside stuff, what's he getting? One and a half tons?
Say, but it's
an acre?
It's plenty. Oh, how much?
Tons an acre?
Yeah, about 1 3/4 ton.
You got no soil because your hillside, think about it, all the soil's already come down over the millenniums.
Yeah.
You got a stress vine. I'm getting four and a half, five tons an acre on my vineyard. This guy's getting a ton and a half. Think about it.
If he's lucky,
and that's concentrated fruit.
Right.
Now, you get a balanced vine. If you got soil as deep as you know, a bench land like I'm on, but if you're up there, you get nothing off your vine.
So it's going to be expensive.
Yeah, it's going to be expensive, and you're selling it for nothing.
A reminder to check out our podcast wherever great podcasts are offered. You can also go to calwinecountry.com. Every episode is up there to listen to. California Wine Country, brought to you by Bottle Barn and Della Tofola. And Ron and Laura Allen, the owners of Allen Wines, allenwines.com, are here along with their fabulous winemaker, Chris, today. We're short on time. Do you guys have a winery with a tasting room? Quickly.
So we have one place over in Napa where we do our tastings, and it's by appointment only. They can reach us via the website.
Okay.
And we also do tastings on the Sonoma side, a little bit north of town, very beautiful venue up by Mayakama. Anybody who'd like to reach us, just reach out to us at allenwines.com, and we'd be happy to do a tasting by appointment. It costs,
right on.
It costs nothing. We love to share it.
You guys are making some great stuff, and Tom,
sure
thanks
are.
For bringing them in. Ron and Laura Allen,
thank
pleasure to meet
us.
You guys. We'll have you back. And Tom, we'll see you next month, I guess,
yep,
in November. And Barry Herbst from Bottle Barn, good to see you, buddy.
Yeah, good to see you.
You going to be next week with us?
Yes, I plan to be here.
All right, have a great night, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow.